What a delight it has been already to be here with you, worship with you. I've had a fantastic morning right from the get-go because I got to drive in the country with worship music playing even before I got here. But just now to be here among you, I love this, I'm going to call it the small church awesome. And Highview has that too. Sometimes I call Highview a wasabi church. Do you know what wasabi is? It's part of a Japanese meal. It's a little paste. And I'm not sure I would call it spicy necessarily. It's just like, but it is hot and it's really strong and powerful. You do not need much to make a big impact. And I believe the Spirit of God does that in all local churches, no matter what. And I call Highview a wasabi church, and I'm going to call you guys a wasabi church as well. And loving the family vibe and the family feeling here this morning. So thank you for welcoming me already. I was delighted to hear from Pat when he called. I just have, over the years, found Pat to be probably the most encouraging person on the planet. Like, he just is so encouraging and has encouraged me so much in my ministry, and I know many of you as well. So glad that he has the chance to be in Israel. One day I hope to have that visit myself. I've never been, but I will be honest, as soon as I feel the way is clear for me to travel to where I go, I'm going to Thailand. haven't been there now in 2 years, more than 2 years, because of the pandemic and because of all the complications of where we transfer and all the rest of that. But that's the first place. All that fancy stuff about what I do now really just means I have about 35 grandchildren. That's what it really means. And I miss them. I miss them terribly. We are all the church together, so I'm glad to be here with you. And I hope you have your Bibles or a Bible app as well. I'm fine with that too, if you want to open that. We're going to be looking and parking ourselves in 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to read 7 to 21. It's a fair chunk. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Anybody who's anything in their Bibles at all will know this piece, I'm sure. But as I read it this morning, to get us started and just to start with the Word of God, I'm just going to ask you to listen for what's repeated. Listen for ideas and themes or words or phrases that are repeated. Okay? 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. The word of the Lord. Now, before we get any further into 1 John, what I want to draw your attention to is the card that I hope that you received on the way in. If not, I'm sure someone will run and get you one. And here's what I want. I hope you have a pen. I want us just to spend the first few minutes writing down, I've got room for 10 important relationships in your life. And you can categorize them any way you like. They could be close relationships. They could be brand new relationships. They could be relationships that you feel are going really well, or relationships that maybe you would call messy or complicated. Just write down 10 important relationships in your life while you're doing that. Now, so you know, no one else is going to see this. You're not going to be asked to hand this in or pass it around. So you can even put initials there if you'd like to do that. Don't overthink it. There's no significance whatsoever who comes first on the list. There's nothing like that. Just write down 10 important relationships. We're going to be doing something with this card as we go. Just the first 10 relationships that come to mind. We're doing a relational reset this morning. At least that's hope. That's what I hope the Lord will lead us into as we spend time together this morning. 10 important relationships. Like I said, don't overthink it. Doesn't have to be long. Just initials if you want. And if you don't get to 10, that's okay. Don't like. But whatever the relationships are, maybe work relationships, maybe obviously family relationships, relationships within this community, your church family. Give you a few minutes to do that. Is good. Come to church, you get homework. Well, I guess it's not homework, it's classwork, I guess. And here's what I want you to do once you have those relationships written down. Indicate any of those relationships that have been affected in some negative way at all because we are experiencing a global pandemic. Anything that has been affected in any way negative at all. And this could be huge, like a really big split of some sort, or it could just be stresses. You can indicate in the box by a check or an X or something. Any relationship that you think has been affected by pandemic stress or any kind of ways like that. And again, we're not going to be showing this to anybody, so you're okay, you're safe with all of that. And I realize, I'm going to just say this right up the front, I know I might be poking around in some pain for some of you. I don't know for sure. I'm going to just trust the Holy Spirit will lead us to a place of healing today, but just whatever that is. And I should have mentioned, and I want to greet the people who are watching because that's so important for us to continue to be together. Any piece of paper would do if you didn't get one of those cards or if it was available, I think, online. So just indicate those that are having some kind of stress in any way negatively. Okay. Just check or X or whatever. Now, here's what I want us to do before we go any further. Just hold these in your hand. Maybe you can just, I don't know, however you want to hold it. And I just want to pray us into where we're going from here on. Lord, we hold in our hands a representation of the relationships that mean so much to us. And we entrust them into your good plans and purposes. Father, as a people of faith, it would be maybe obvious to say that we believe in you, but this morning, I just want to thank you for believing in us. Thank you for the astounding truth that we find in your word, that you actually invite us into the grand, epic adventure that is your mission to reclaim and redeem humanity back to your heart of love, and that you would actually entrust that to us, your church. Jesus, thank you for the time we get to spend together being your church and considering again the imperative importance of our relationships, especially in how that impacts the advancement of your mission. So guide our hearts, Spirit, as we sit in this space right now to hear what you have to say to us as a gathered people and as individuals interacting with this community and the broader world, this very disrupted world in which we find ourselves right now. We offer these next minutes to you. Do your work in us. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that for most of us, almost so many, if not all, of the relationships that we've written down on the card have in some way been negatively impacted by the pandemic. I'm not going to ask, because like I said, we're not handing them in, but that's my guess. And likely in this two-second exercise, we've proven what psychologists have been putting a lot of time and energy into over these past 2 years is that our relationships are under stress. We have stressed, the pandemic has stressed our relationships. And for the Church of Jesus Christ, this could be a serious problem, or it could be a wonderful opportunity. Because God is all about relationships. He's all about relationships, and he puts a great deal of weight on our relationships with one another, a lot of weight. And a broader biblical study that we couldn't do just on a Sunday morning together would bear witness to this, how importantly God considers our relationships with one another. But one of my go-tos, my quick go-tos in Scripture, is also from the author John, John chapter 17. In verses 20 to 23, I'm just going to read two of them, 20 and 21, just to show the weight that God puts on the quality of our relationships together. Jesus is praying, "My prayer is not for them alone." Of course, he's talking about his followers that have been with him on the earth. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." I guess that's us. That in all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Wow. Like, that's a lot of weight. Like, are you kidding me? The weight God puts on our relationships with one another is enormous. That the world may believe? Our witness, our testimony to the world, our ability to carry out God's mission of redemption and reconciliation is directly connected to how we love one another. A lot is at stake here. So if our relationships have come under such strain, and if there's a lot at stake, maybe it's a good time right now in this place of the pandemic to just stop and evaluate and maybe do a relational reset. And I think John can help us do that. John, what, 1 John 4, 7 to 21. It's a longer piece, but as I was reading, and you know this passage, I'm sure, did you catch the repetition? I mean, first of all, the word love is used 11 out of 15 verses, and so often more than once in a verse. And then 14 out of 15 verses has the word or a reference to God. And it might be a pronoun, but also referencing each person of the Trinity. That's actually an interesting feature of this text. So just from a simple reading of the text, without going into any commentaries or deep exegesis, you can tell what it's about. And in case it's not too obvious, he talks about it right at the beginning of this section, verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love is from God." It's about love. It's about God. It's about us loving one another. And if it's true that the pandemic has done a number on our relationships, and if it's true that we would do well to reevaluate or reset our relationships, then it doesn't really get much more basic than this. We start here with the names we've put on our list. And yes, even with, and perhaps especially with, the names that might represent a relationship that's messy or complicated or painful. And I believe that John can help us do the reset. And he's going to help us first by resetting us on where love comes from. Comes from God. And I'm going to read verses 7, 16 to 19. And by the way, I love scripture studies or sermons that kind of build on point by point as you go through. But John actually writes in that Greek kind of way of a circular sort of argument. So we're going to be pulling around in that circle a little bit. So from John, from 7, verse 7, 16 and 19. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Love comes from God. Verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Let's be very clear. When it comes to our relationships, all those names that we have on our list, the only reason that any of us have any capacity for love at all is because God loved us first. Because he is love. There's no chicken and egg thing happening here. It's very clear. God initiates all love because he is love. That's, as I've mentioned already, an interesting feature of this text is how all persons of the Trinity are referred to. And that makes sense. Because when we understand God as love, we have to remember that before the beginning of time, in eternity, there existed love between them. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, all in community, loving and adoring and worshiping each other before humanity came into the picture at all. A crazy, wonderful word for this is perichoresis. I love this word. It's sort of, it just talks about spinning or the movement. It kind of comes from the same root word as our choreography. And it's just about the dance of the Trinity and what it means for them to love one another. I love that image. So if we're struggling right now in a relationship, in any way, conflict or distancing or loss of affection or disagreement about vaccines, difference of opinion about getting together or what happened in Ottawa a number of weeks ago, maybe we're seeing something precious fall apart before our eyes, even that relationship that's so painful right now, whatever it is, what if we just started the reset with a commitment to love and an acknowledgement that even if we find that person really difficult to love, God does not. Whoever is difficult to love in our life, God does not find that person difficult to love. And he will provide what's needed. It's God's love that we offer to others. It doesn't come from us. In a worship song that we sing at Highview, I don't know if you sing it here, it's called I Will Follow. And the chorus has this repeated sort of way of saying, like, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Whom you love, I'll love. Anytime we sing that song or any song that just reminds us of our commitment to love with God's love, we are already starting on resetting our relationships. And I wonder if in our relationship stresses of late, whatever they might be, if we just maybe stop trying so hard to love them out of our own selves and just received God's love and let that pour out to the other person? Just simply do that. What would that do to push reset on our relationships? Now, I don't want to be oversimplistic. Some relationships get so messy that they do need extra support and help, maybe a professional Christian counselor. So I'm not saying that would be instead. This is just going to fix everything. But wouldn't it be a good place to start? Just to receive God's love and then love out of that. Relational reset begins with remembering that love itself comes from God. John also talks about how love shows itself. And for that, we go back to verses 9 and 10, and then verse 14. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Verse 14, I meant to read, sorry. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. I'm glad I caught that because it's really, really important. How does love get shown? What is shown? Through Jesus. We've just celebrated Easter, and I don't know what Easter Sunday morning was like for you, but at Highview, I'm sure it was like this for you. Like, just, yay, he's alive. I saw the Cotton Patch Gospel. It's a, whether you like it or not, but it was sort of a rendition of Jesus' story, the gospel, all done with country music and kind of, and I loved that they actually showed the resurrection, because a lot of times stories just end with the crucifixion, but this showed the resurrection. And the character who's playing Jesus, the actor is playing Jesus, the stage goes dark, and then all of a sudden, boom, all the lights come up, and he jumps out from behind and goes, it worked! Like, it was just this highlight moment, this beautiful moment, and we just celebrate that. But of course, Easter weekend includes Good Friday, where we are sobered. And we've sung about it already this morning, the fact that Jesus put human flesh on and lived a perfect life and willingly laid himself down to be subjected to an excruciating execution just to buy us back. What kind of God does that? John reminds us that Jesus is the ultimate demonstration of the love of God. And in so doing, he reminds us of that sacrifice is the key. And that's stated overtly in verse 10. God's love demonstrated by Jesus' sacrifice to pay for, atone for our sins. Sacrifice. Just in case we were getting love mixed up with feelings, like feeling good or emotions, just in case we were getting that mixed up with affection, just in case we started to put more emphasis on how we felt rather than what love requires. Relationships are costly. God knows that. We know that, even pragmatically, we know that relationships require us to give up our time, energy, sometimes money, putting aside ourselves for the sake of others. Sometimes there's dramatic proof of that when somebody offers their kidney, like an organ donor, for the sake of others to save somebody else's life. Or we hear a story of someone like pushing someone out of the way of imminent danger, a car or a train even, or and sacrificing their love. Or we hear stories of someone leaving the comforts of their privileged home and going somewhere else where people are devastated and living in really devastating kind of circumstances. And if God calls us to that kind of sacrifice, we need to be ready. That becomes a model. Jesus' sacrifice becomes a model for our own sacrifice. But most of us, honestly, won't be called to that degree of sacrifice. The reset on our relationships won't require us to press that far at all. Not for most of us. It's just going to be in the small, ordinary ways of living that we'll be called to put aside self, to reset our relationships and make our way through this pandemic in ways that we are called to be like Christ, sacrificial love. Most of us, let's face it, will find it hard enough to simply let someone else go first. Or to be gracious in the grocery store if someone's coming at us the wrong way down the aisle. We don't really have the arrows on the floors anymore in our grocery stores, but I'll tell you, I had to watch myself not to glare at someone who's coming down the wrong way. How dare you? Most of us will be finding it difficult enough to sacrifice enough to be quiet and listen instead of doing all the talking. We'll be finding it hard enough to just rearrange our schedule to accommodate someone else, that kind of sacrifice, or to give up a quiet evening just to go serve someone else. We might find it hard with all the debates over how to approach public health restrictions, vaccines, masking, simply give up the need to be right. And not just about masks and vaccines, but beyond the pandemic. This is something many of us find hard to sacrifice, to give up the need to be right. Or what about sacrificing the need to be the center of attention, or the need to dominate, or the need to win? Maybe in this disconnected world of ours, our relationships need the reset of sacrifice, love demonstrated through the putting aside of self and offering ourselves for the sake of others. Sound simple? If it was, we probably wouldn't have any check marks or anybody indicated on our lists. Okay, sorry to say, but John's actually going to make this even harder. Okay, where love comes from God, what love looks like, sacrifice, because now he's going to go and make some claim about God love being completed between us. Where is love completed between us? Verses 11, 12, 17, and 20 to 21. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we all also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, get this. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Verse 20 to 21. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. It's a scary thought. God's love is made complete between us. What does this mean? In her book, Living into Community, Cultivating Practices That Sustain Us, Christine Poole, she cuts right to this chase. She starts her book, the very first chapter, describing this horrible church conflict, this church train wreck. Just doesn't obviously identify anybody, but just gives enough detail that you could just tell it was a very messy, messy thing. And sadly, for me, or maybe anyone who's been around church circles long enough, unfortunately so believable. And here's what she has to say about it. When these breakdowns happen in Christian communities, the costs go beyond the shattering of valued relationships, important projects, or a shared future. The best testimony to the truth of the gospel is the quality of our life together. Jesus risked his reputation and the credibility of his story by tying them to how his followers live and care for one another in community. If we could cut through our complacency or despair, or I might add our pandemic funk, we might be shocked at what really is at stake here, the character of our shared life as congregations, communities, and families has the power to draw people to the kingdom or to push them away. How we live together is the most persuasive sermon we'll ever get to preach. This scares me. That God would actually entrust us with his reputation like this. That God would entrust us to make his love complete by letting the world watch how we treat one another, how we love one another. And if this is so, why do we let so much divide us? I've just completed a course in Christian history, and I got to tell you, a lot of it is really heartbreaking. If so much is at stake, why on earth do we let things get so petty, so heated, so explosive, so cold, so nitpicky, so judgmental, so black and white? How is it possible that in the true story of the Church of Jesus Christ, there's even such a thing called the 30 Years' War, where Christians were fighting against one another? And how sad is it that we don't even have to look very far to be able to believe that it could happen? For me, not counting, of course, the overwhelming loss and sorrow and suffering around the world, one of the saddest fallouts of the pandemic is how it has divided humans into entrenched camps. I mean, it's sadder still how this has infiltrated the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul, who is actually also rather big on love being the main thing. Funny how this seems to be this recurring theme throughout, oh, I don't know, the whole Bible. But Paul was trying to break down the walls between people, and some of the huge dividers for them are listed in his letter to the Galatians: Jew and Gentile, slave or free, male or female. And not to get too political, but I think if Paul was writing this during COVID-19 pandemic, he would have included masked or unmasked, vaxxed or unvaxxed. We are all one in Christ. And actually, I will dare to get a little bit political here, because if we're honest, if I'm honest, the messaging that's all around us right now could, if we're not careful, make us very hateful towards people who feel differently than we do about all things COVID. And maybe some people on your list, on my list, that's what's been so stressful about it. In the Church of Jesus, there is no room to mock someone or denigrate someone or hate someone based on their vaccine status. No room to ridicule or stereotype or disrespect on either side of that jab. Can we do that? Can we do that for one another? Can we respond differently to one another than our wider culture might dictate? Can we do that for the sake of allowing God's love to be completed in us, so that the world can see what God's love actually looks like, especially now, especially in our crazy pandemic ravaged world? Can we do, wherever necessary, a relational reset? Remembering where love comes from. It comes from God, not us. So we just let it flow out of us, remembering that love in its truest form, demonstrated by Jesus, requires sacrifice, something huge sometimes, but most of the time small, in ordinary ways of life. remembering and being sobered by the fact that God actually invites us to allow his love to be completed between us by how we love one another. Find your list again. And the next thing, you don't have to write anything, but just look at it. The next thing I'm going to suggest you might do with this would be on your own time, sometime this week when you're spending your time with the Lord anyways. Just going to suggest that you ask the Lord, ask the Spirit to just sort of draw up maybe two people who most need a relational reset with you. Just identify them. Two people who need a relational reset with you the most, two people who need you to love them with the love of God, not just from yourself, two people who might need you to set aside something, maybe just the need to be right in order to sacrifice that for them, two people who need to have their relationship with you better reflect the completed love of God by how you interact with them. Just identify them and then ask, what next? What now? It could be a next step. And I don't want to restrict the Holy Spirit by giving lists, but it could include something like an apology or an email or a letter or maybe no words at all, but just a redirecting change about how you approach them or your behavior with them. I let the Holy Spirit guide and nudge you into that. And don't rush into any of this. I really don't think the Spirit wants you to charge in there and try to fix everything that might be wrong with some kind of relationship. Just that would be my encouragement to you. Let's let the Holy Spirit reset our relationships. Love comes from God. Sacrifice is the key. God's love is made complete between us. And make no mistake, we have an enemy that knows how to tear us apart. And that is really very clear, I think, in the relationships that would be on our list, in our experience together. And the band, actually, we're gonna sing a song together again about a victory. I don't know what victory you need this morning. I do not want to presume that at all. But God has good things for us as we surrender ourselves to him. So let's worship and let's let God have the victory in our lives.